First President Joe Biden and members of his administration are continuing to sell the plan to boost the country's infrastructure and the plan to pay for it, including raising the corporate tax rate.
I will not impose any tax increases on people making less than $400,000 a year. If others have ideas out there on how to pay for this investment without violating that rule, they should come forward. There's all kinds of opportunities. Just list all the tax breaks that I find difficult to explain.
That's Biden speaking this afternoon about what he and the administration are calling the American Jobs Plan. It's the week in Washington. We'll check out the latest on the infrastructure plan and its fate in Congress. We also got some new guidelines from the CDC last week about fully vaccinated people and travel, while in many places in the country, COVID-19 cases are rising again. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How much do you want to see the federal government put into infrastructure redevelopment, if anything? And what does infrastructure mean to you? Is it just roads and bridges and railroads and such? Or should it include broadband and so-called human infrastructure? Should the administration and Congress go big or small? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Francesca Chambers is White House correspondent from McClatchy, D.C. Francesca, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been hearing, Francesca, about this infrastructure plan for a while. What kind of things did we hear today from the administration about how they are hoping to pay for these changes?
Well, you really summed it up at the top when you talked about the debate about what is infrastructure and how should you pay for it. And today we heard from President Biden that he believes that's what is in his plan, if it wasn't obvious already, is infrastructure. He said for Republicans who are arguing that these items like childcare and the electric grid and water and schools, for those Republicans who were saying that's not infrastructure, he's trying to really make the case that it is. And he says that when Congress is back in session next week, he'll be making that case, as well as administration, to Republicans who are pushing back against his definition.
And we heard from the president there one way he does not want to pay for it is on income taxes for Americans making $400,000 a year or less, that he doesn't want to raise that, he says. We heard from the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen about some of the things they do want to do, a lot of it having to do with corporate tax changes. What kind of things are they looking at there?
So it's important to note that there are two infrastructure proposals, one of which the president has put forward and the other of which the administration says is forthcoming and it is not put forward yet. This is important because the one that he has put forward, which handles a lot of those roads and bridges and traditional infrastructure, as well as other things, that he proposes to pay for by increasing the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. Now, the second part of his infrastructure package, which again, he hasn't put forward yet, is where you could start to see the income taxes being raised. Now, the president and the White House have emphasized that no one making less than $400,000 a year is going to have their taxes raised. However, Republicans are already starting to argue that in order to pay for the entire thing, the president would have to do more than just raise taxes on anyone making above that amount. So certainly there's going to be a debate over that in Washington, too, once we see what the president's plan is.
The president can propose these plans. Of course, Congress has to sign off on them. And that can mean needing 60 votes in the Senate, meaning Republicans would have to sign on. Or there's reconciliation. And there's some news on that from the world famous Senate parliamentarian. What are we hearing this week?
Well, not only does Congress have to sign off on them, Congress would have to introduce a bill, I may also add, which it hasn't done because it's been in recess, to even make the president's proposals into legislative form. So that would be the number one thing that has to happen here. But then, as you noted, to get it through the Senate with a bare majority, they would need to use that process called reconciliation or get rid of the filibuster, which does have that 60-vote threshold. Now, they've signaled that they're not ready to move off the filibuster. That's something the president does not want them to do. And so now the Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, his interpretation is that they could use that budget reconciliation process that they also used to pass COVID relief to move this. Of course, the White House is still saying that they'd like to get bipartisan support for it, that they don't want to do it that way. But from what we've heard from Republicans so far, Republicans are not signing on to the president's proposal.
We're talking about some of the top stories in national politics, including right now infrastructure plans from the president and their potential fate in Congress. Francesca Chambers is with us, White House correspondent for McClatchy, D.C. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a big infrastructure plan pass in Congress? What would you want to see in it? What would you like to see it look like? And how would you like it to be paid for? Are there places where you think corporate taxes could go up? Higher income Americans taxes could go up? If not those, then what would you like to see done? And what is infrastructure to you? What kind of things fall under that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us, ideas@WPR.org. Francesca, I know there's no bill yet and no Congress right now in session, but there are questions, it sounds like, over some of this plan that has been outlined by the Biden administration, whether it would even get that bare majority of Democrats. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin saying he's maybe not on board with the corporate tax increase to 28%. So that isn't even a slam dunk, is it?
Well, and Joe Manchin has said that he would like to see it at something a little bit more like 25%. He sees that as more of a middle ground. But what the Biden administration is arguing is that 28%, they already see that as a middle ground. The corporate tax rate used to be 35% before Republicans cut it. Republican-only passed bill, cut it in 2017. That was when it was reduced down to 21%. So the Biden administration arguing they've already reached that middle ground. But the fact of the matter is that in the Senate, even if they were to use reconciliation, they would need to have Joe Manchin's vote as well as that of other moderate Democrats. They would not be able to afford to lose a single Democratic vote if they don't get any Republicans. And again, we have not heard of any Republican support for this bill yet, or rather this proposal. Yeah.
Right. And the president has said it sounds like he's open to negotiation. Does it sound like there's an appetite for genuine negotiation in Congress with the Biden plan as a starting point or not?
Well, certainly the White House has emphasized that repeatedly this week, that if Republicans have ideas that they're willing to discuss them. And we saw last week that Roy Blunt of Missouri, he was putting forward some ideas. You know, one thing that he said was that you could just put forward traditional infrastructure in one bill, and you would probably get bipartisan support for that, including from Republicans. And then what Biden could do is put all the other things that Republicans are opposing on the grounds that they're not traditional infrastructure, you could put that into another bill and pass that, you know, with just Democratic support. So that's the first thing we've heard from Republicans. But again, they're in recess this week. They're back in their congressional districts. I would expect that you'll hear more from them on what they'd like to see next week.
What have we heard from the Biden administration on why they haven't done that? Had your straight up roads and stuff that generally politicians from both parties seem to like, and then trying the other stuff in its own deal?
Well, already what they're looking at for their second package would be quite big on its face. There could possibly be expanding the child tax credit in that. They could be funding paid family leave. Some of these other things that they've described and Democrats have described as more of a care economy in that sort of a bill. So my understanding of it is that they tried to break up all these big ideas into two different packages. And when you talk about some of these things that wouldn't have as much Republican support, you do run the risk, if you're the Biden administration, of getting your infrastructure package that has the roads and the bridges and everything else in it, but then not getting any of those other priorities. If they put some of that in this bill, perhaps they will end up getting some support from Republicans. Perhaps they will be able to get this bill through, maybe not the other one. But that's always the political risk that you run.
We're talking to Francesca Chambers from McClatchy, D.C. It's the week in Washington. We're looking at new developments around the president's infrastructure plans and where that could go in Congress. Coming up, we'll check out guidance from the CDC around COVID-19 and the administration's handling of the pandemic. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the latest on this infrastructure plan? These infrastructure plans, I should say, from the Biden administration, would you like to see them pass Congress? Do you like the idea of corporate tax increases and increasing the rate to help pay for it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Also, with the CDC talking about people who are fully vaccinated and travel advisories. What are you confused about? What do you want to hear from the CDC? What does vaccination mean for your own travel plans, maybe this summer or beyond? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's our week in Washington, looking at some of the top stories in national politics, including infrastructure and, coming up, CDC advisories for people who have been vaccinated. Francesca Chambers stays with us, McClatchy, D.C. White House correspondent. You could join in on either of those topics at 800-642-1234, if you like, 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Francesca, you've been following this news now from the CDC. They've been gradually issuing guidelines and advisories for people who have been fully vaccinated. Now, travel. What is the latest from the CDC on vaccines and travel?
For fully vaccinated individuals, the CDC said on Friday that they can travel with a low risk to themselves. They don't need to quarantine anymore after they've traveled places. And importantly, it said that if you're traveling, you don't need to take that COVID test unless, for instance, it's required by another country before getting on an airplane. So certainly that's probably good news to many Americans as they try to figure out what they'll be doing this summer, to know that once they're fully vaccinated, they don't need to take the COVID test and they don't need to quarantine. That being said, the CDC said for Americans who were coming back from foreign countries that they would still need to take that COVID test before coming back. And they recommend several days after traveling to some of those countries where we know that there are other variants of the coronavirus, that they should take a test several days after returning to America.
There was some confusion, Francesca, when the CDC said, yeah, probably safe to travel if you're vaccinated. But I think it was the CDC director said, yeah, but maybe don't travel. What am I selling them short here? Is that generally what they said?
No, that's accurate. And that's really a reflection of the difficulty that the CDC has here, because for all of the Americans who aren't fully vaccinated, they've either had one shot or they've had no shot so far. They don't want to be seen as encouraging them to travel or be seen as easing restrictions on travel, given the rising cases that we've seen in the United States. At the same time, she said that the science does show that people who are fully vaccinated do have a low risk to themselves. So they really are trying to have these two different things that they're dealing with here for the vaccinated individuals on travel, while still sending the message they want to send on travel to people who haven't been fully vaccinated. It's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, this guidance comes, vaccines, you know, they're rolling out, more and more people getting vaccinated, but we're seeing rates of COVID going up a little, raising concerns that, hey, are we in a fourth COVID surge? I don't know. How is the CDC trying to like sell both of those messages at the same time?
Well, right. And that was why, you know, you haven't seen some of the other guidance that could be or should be rather coming from the CDC for vaccinated individuals on other activities. You know, we still haven't seen anything related to the workplace. We have not seen any guidance related to when we'll be able to have big groups gathering again. To this point, they've only spoken about small groups gathering. And that is what President Biden had said that we would be able to do by 4th of July, is to have small groups gathering. So there's certainly a lot more guidance that we expect to be coming that will tell us more about how we can return to some sort of normal after this, once people are vaccinated.
And you've been covering this and following this under the Trump administration and now under the Biden administration. What kind of differences have you observed in how the CDC and scientists and others are talking about the disease?
Well, you know, we have these briefings several times a week with the scientific, you know, officials, the CDC, whether that's Dr. Anthony Fauci, that involves White House officials, and they're all done virtually currently for reporters. So that's one change that we've seen that's different. Under the Trump administration, there was a point where we were having briefings in the briefing room with some of these officials every day at a certain point or every few days. But sometimes it wasn't always them taking the questions. Of course, when the president was there, a lot of people had questions for the president himself. other times President Trump would jump in and answer questions himself, even if the question was potentially directed at a scientist. So this White House has chosen to address that by just having briefings with just these health officials that take place on Monday, Wednesday, Friday every week. Everyone knows when they are. They're roughly the same time on those days where just the health questions are answered. And then, of course, they have the White House press briefing where a range of questions are taken on a near daily basis unless the president is traveling.
Another big question has been about vaccine rates. There were accusations that the Biden administration kind of lowballed a little bit, saying they were going to shoot for, what was it, a million vaccines a day or something like that. They're or I can't remember the exact numbers, but saying they set their bar too low and they've exceeded it. And should they be still setting it higher? Have they been talking about that at these briefings?
So initially, the president said he wanted to have 100 million shots in his first 100 days. And then he came back and said that they would be able to meet 200 shots in his first 100 days. So they have increased the bar. And certainly they are now doing more shots, more than a million shots a day. That's what it would have taken at this point. But there have been questions about racial equity in terms of the shots, whether or not these are getting in the arms of people who are most disproportionately impacted by COVID and have been dying at from higher rates at it. And it's really something that this administration has acknowledged that they've struggled with, right? The difference between wanting to get as many shots as they can in as many people's arms, but also making sure that it's done in a fair and equitable way. And they have, since getting their hands on the data that showed them that it wasn't being done in a fair and equitable way, had to adjust their strategy to try and get more shots to rural communities, to the elderly, to, you know, some people who maybe don't have transportation. They have now made a goal of having a place where you can get vaccinated within 5 miles of your home for people who don't necessarily live near a CVS or a Walgreens. So that's the phase of the strategy that they're in now. And they're also trying to convince people who've been hesitant or skeptical about getting the vaccine that they should also do so again, so that the country can return to normal.
We're talking to Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent from McClatchy, D.C., looking at some of the top stories in national politics right now, looking at the Biden administration and COVID-19 related issues. And Francesca, it's been just over a week or so. I think the president himself had been asking for governors and local leaders and others to keep or reinstate things like mask mandates. Again, with that potential for a fourth surge getting out ahead of vaccinations, what has the White House message been to those state and local leaders?
Right. They do not want them to lift those restrictions. And in fact, we heard the Secretary of Commerce today say from the White House podium that if anything, they would want them to speed up their vaccination rates, that's what they believe that they should be. This administration believes that they should be focusing on is trying to get enough, as much vaccine to their residents as possible. And then they can start lifting the restrictions versus the other way around. So that has been this White House's message to governors and mayors in the city and states around the country.
I want to touch briefly on a couple issues before we run out of time, Francesca. There's been concern from some gun control advocates who were hoping that Biden would move faster on the issue, that he has not. I'm seeing at least tweets that the president and the attorney general, Merrick Garland, will be talking about that soon. What do we know about what we may hear?
It is our expectation that tomorrow President Biden will sign at least one executive order that takes a look at this issue. What could be in that is that he could require homemade guns to that don't necessarily have a serial number on them to have to go through background checks for you to be able to have those sorts of firearms. Again, we don't know too many other details about what it is he's likely to sign tomorrow. Reporters haven't been briefed on that yet.
What other issues are you watching for, Francesca? Infrastructure, big, obviously COVID-19, huge. What things are maybe on the back burner that you're watching for in the weeks to come?
Well, first is the president's budget. It's something that presidents are required to put forward. And while they don't have the matter of law behind them, they certainly signal what a president's priorities are. And so we haven't seen a budget yet from President Biden, and his administration has said one's coming, and maybe even a skinny version where they don't do the whole thing. They just do some things. And so that will really tell us a lot more about where they plan to proceed after he gets through these early initiatives like infrastructure that he wanted to do. So that's one thing that's absolutely on the radar. And within that, that will tell us a lot more about some things like what I've been covering. I've been covering things about the historically Black colleges and universities and whether or not the president will fulfill a campaign promise to send more than billion dollars to them to try and help with some of the issues that they're having. So those are some of the things that his budget will help us to see which of his campaign promises he plans to fulfill this year and which ones we might have to wait till next year for.
And finally, with Congress coming back next week, infrastructure, I imagine they'll be talking about what else is at the top of their agenda.
The infrastructure proposal is absolutely going to be the talk of next week in Washington. It won't just be infrastructure week this week. It'll be infrastructure week likely next week as well. The White House, again, has said that they'll be meeting with both Republicans and Democrats, not just their legislative staff, but the president's also expected to host Republicans at the White House next week as well. So what we'll be on the lookout for is what kinds of proposals, as you noted, do Republicans put forward to pay for some of this infrastructure if they don't want an increase in the corporate tax rate, if they don't want to see any increases on high income earners.
Francesca, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much. I look forward to talking to you about this again.
And it'll probably still be infrastructure week. That's Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy, D.C. We talked to her for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics, including this week, as with many weeks, infrastructure and the Biden administration's response to COVID-19.